We have announcements. Let's see. Dates to remember, we always have Bible study on Sunday mornings at 9 and prayer time on Wednesday afternoon at 6:30. We have Bible study from 7 to 8 on Wednesday evenings as well, and all are welcome. Thursdays, we have choir practice from 6:30 to 8. Again, all are welcome. Also, we do continue to need folks to lead hymns during the Christian music hymn sing, which will be next week right after service. It'll begin at 11:30 and at 12:30. It'll be bring your best dish pot blessing luncheon. Deb Turcotte will be taking pictures for those wishing pictures in the new church directory, and she's also been staying after service as well. Do you have your camera today, Deb, as well? Okay, so if you'd like to beat the rush next week after service, she'll be in Mickey's room right after service. On 24th of March, we have the Maundy Thursday service, 7 p.m. here. And I did receive a definition of Maundy Thursday and a little bit of a history. The word Maundy is from the Latin mandatum, or mendicare, or washing of the feet, is a religious rite observed by several Christian denominations. John 13, 1 through 17 mentions Jesus performing this act, specifically in verses 13, 14 through 17, he instructs them, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." As such, many denominations, including Anglicans, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, and Roman Catholics, observe the washing of the feet on Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. Moreover, for some denominations, foot washing was an example or a pattern. Many groups throughout church history and many modern denominations have practiced foot washing as a church ordinance, including the Adventists, Anabaptists, Baptists, and Pentecostals. The derivation of the word Maundy has at least two possibilities for the origin. Throughout Middle English and Old French, it may come from Middle English and Old French mandate, from Latin mandatum. It may also come from the Latin mendicare, French mendier, and English mond, spelled M-A-U-N-D, which means to beg or a small basket held out by beggars as they monded or begged. But it's so funny that word comes up because we certainly are beggars in the sight of the Lord, and he gives us that incredible grace. And it is very important to note that there is no mention of moon worshiping or worshiping of the sun, as we thought it might be the case last week. So that's a great little history and good to know as we prepare for Holy Week, and Maundy Thursday will be March 24th, March 25th, and that will be here, and Fairfield Congregational Church will come here, right, on Maundy Thursday. And then on Friday, we will go to Brimfield Congregational Church at a service. We don't have a time yet, but that will be it. That's always a beautiful service. And then on the 27th of March, sunrise service at Dakota's Beach, and 27th of March, same day, Easter service, of course, at 10. Any other announcements? Yes, Jeannie?
I just want to point out that the cards that you see on the communion table this morning are cards that we make on Saturday morning with Karen. We have she teaches card making, and those have all been made by us. And, it's really a fun thing, and, we usually have it every Saturday, not this coming Saturday, actually, but every Saturday at 9:30 right here at the church, lasts about an hour and 15 minutes. And really, it's really fun, and there's some of the evidence of our
announcements. All right, we will begin with prayer requests. Prayers again for George and Terry, who are probably, hopefully, in a warmer place than we are. Prayers also for the Eastern Seaboard states who endured an incredible storm yesterday. Prayers for Bob and Judy, Alma and Charlie, all who battled Parkinson's disease. Continued prayers for baby Luke and his family, and for all our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that need healing, and the doctors and nurses that treat them. Prayers for Barbara's friend, Mandy Hudson, who is battling ALS. Continued prayers for Roger Kerboy, Reverend Bob Wellner, and Karen's friend, Dee, and her husband, as they battle cancer. Also for Priscilla Varney, Alma's sister, and my dad, Joseph Pulaski, who has two operations coming.
When are those expected to occur?
The first one will be on February 2nd, and the second February 24th, and they're pretty major surgeries. So, any other prayer requests?
We went down this last week and saw Paul LaVoy, Donna's son. He's down at Evergreen, just down the road. He's doing real well. He's in good spirits. The surgery went very, very well. Also, Mandy Hudson, I got a call from Barbara last night. Mandy's in Beth Israel, and she's on hospice care. And so her family really needs a lot of prayer because it's just a matter of time now before she goes home to be with God.
And I have one other. My brother Jim is going to go in for a biopsy for cancer tomorrow morning. Okay, any other prayer requests? All right, please rise for the call to worship.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
It's a glorious day, particularly since we didn't get all that snow.
Amen, brother.
A beautiful thing. I was in contact with family and friends from down in Jersey. I talked to them yesterday, and they said, we have 1 foot, and we're waiting for the next foot to show up. And folks on the Cape didn't have any, but they were in the process of waiting for it to come. So we are blessed and blessed mightily. The storm came and it gave us a little inconvenience this morning, but nothing serious. If you turn to 440, our call to worship is called I Sought the Lord. 440. If I didn't tell you, don't hug me today. I'm a little buggy. And as much as I love you, I just assume not share this bug with you folks. 440. It's broken into paragraphs. I'll read the first paragraph. You all read the second and third. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek it. Seeking me, it was not that I was found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee.
Thou didst reach forth thy hand, and mine enfold. I walked and sank not on the sword next sea. It was not so much that I believed to hold, as thou did, Lord, on me. I find, I walk, I love, but lo, the whole love is but my answer to thee. For thou wert long beforehand, my soul, always thou lovest me.
As we move through today, just to the sermon today, it's called Do It Now. If you're like me, you have a list of things that you need to accomplish each day. You do pretty well at getting the list done, but like my dog, occasionally shiny things and stuff jump up that distract me from getting the day's work done. So we're going to talk about doing it now. We're going to talk about God's love and how God lifts us up. And hopefully hit on a couple points that show the value of doing it now. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the sunlight. We thank you for gathering us together. We thank you for the nice day, Lord. I think the storm is not only over, but it looks like the snow is going to go away by tomorrow or the next day. It's going to warm up again, Father, and we appreciate that. We thank you, Father, that you've given us some moisture, that we continue to get enough to keep our water levels up. We pray for all the folks that are dealing with the aftermath of the storm, and all the folks that were stranded, and all the folks that are worried about clearing the stuff out. We ask, Father, that you be with them, that you lift them up, that you help them to realize that this is just a season of their life, and this too shall pass. We thank you, Father, for a great nation that allows us to assemble openly and freely. We come together, Father, and we are so blessed to be joined together, not just here with one another, but joined together with like-minded Christians around the globe. And so, Father, we come together to be renewed, healed, and lifted up. And we gather together now in the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Checking in to make sure that folks are not just well and safe, but just to say hello and make sure that, you know, they're there and that they know that somebody cares about them. So the ushers will receive our morning offering. Step out of our comfort zone and go farther out and tell the story, Lord, over and over and over again of your saving grace and the love that you have for us. We lift up all these gifts to you through your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And it's Miss Karen time. Time for the children. I thought Nate was so excited.
I thought right.
Child time.
You're lucky. It's just me and you and Grandma.
Private
lessons. Ladies' time here. Okay. Have a seat. I'll sit beside you on this side, too. I'll bet you are really, 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 really good at something that Jesus wanted us to do. I'll bet you are really good at praying for people. When you see somebody get hurt, do you say a little prayer for them? And if you hear about somebody being sick, do you say a little prayer for them?
Yeah,
you are so good at that. You know what? Some of Jesus' disciples weren't always that good. Jesus had to remind them, when you see somebody that's sick, you have to pray for them. Even if you don't like them. Because sometimes they were being not very nice. If they didn't like somebody, they didn't always want to pray for them. That wasn't very good, was it? But you, how old are you?
4
years old, and you're smarter than those disciples who were grown up. Isn't that great? God made you so smart already. You know what happens though? When we get older, sometimes we don't get so smart. We get less smart. So I want you to always be really smart and always pray when you see somebody that's hurt or see somebody that's sick, okay? Don't ever wait until it's, you know, later on when nobody's looking. It's okay to pray when other people are looking. Okay? Let's pray now. Jesus, I thank you for Hannah, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you help her to pray. Lord God, I pray that you would always help her to remember that. Lord, I pray that she'd never be embarrassed by her faith, Lord God, and her ability to pray. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer time. Since Karen brought it up. Opportunity to come together and share in prayer. Opportunity to lift up joys and concerns. Opportunity to take time to hear the voice of God. This was one of those weeks where we were busy all week long. And then, as Howard said, the epic storm of the century was coming when I visited with Howard. And it never showed up here, but that's okay. We got ready for it. I talked to George and Terry. They're doing well. Like I said, Barbara's friend Mandy, talked to Barbara last night. She's in hospice care, and with her it's just a matter of time. Karen's friends, Dee and her husband, both have cancer. And use our prayers. Roger Coyboy and the Reverend Bob Wellner always appreciate our prayers. Paul was doing very, very well when we went down. Paul's has a magnificent spirit. I text him pretty regular. I sent him a Joel Osteen devotional, and then he texted me back and thanked me for it. He said, "I'm staying in the Word." And you get out and visit him, and he's had surgery on the foot before, but he's a young guy who really does stay in the Word. He's upbeat and positive. Down at Evergreen, there's a lot of folks there that rehab. That's a very, very nice facility. It's just up the road a little ways, right next to Johnson Hospital. And so it's an easy run. You'd be glad to see you if you stop down. So I'll be giving a prayer. We'll go over to Kit, and we'll go through. But always take the time not only to pray, but to wait for the answer, because God answers prayers. The answer always comes back. Your prayers don't go off unanswered. God's got a plan. Join with me in prayer. Father, we pray not just for George and Terry, but we pray for all our other church members that are traveled south for the winters, the Dakotos, and Sue and Ray are down there, Lord, hanging out. We have quite a few other folks that are spread out down there. We pray for them. We pray for folks that are going to be traveling. Lift up Bob and Judy and Elma and Charlie. Those two families have folks that are battling Parkinson's. Continue to lift up Brady Luke and all our children and grandchildren. There's a whole mess of bugs out there floating around. And we pray for health and for healing for all those children. We pray for Barbara's friend Mandy and for her family, Lord, that you hold them close in the palm of your hand. Her time now is short, Father, unless there's a great miracle on your part. ALS is moving with her very rapidly. Pray for Roger Kerboy and Reverend Bob Wellner. Pray for Karen's friend Dee and her husband as they battle cancer. Pray for Priscilla Barney. Pray for Paul LaVoy. Pray for Joe Belaski as Joe gets ready to go in for surgery. Father, we lift up all our military personnel spread around the globe. We lift up not only the military folks, but their families. We pray for their first responders, our firefighters, and our police officers, and for their families. This time of year, the calls come fast and furious, Lord. We pray for all those that are on duty, that are serving all down the East Coast and all around the world. Father, we lift up our leaders, local and national. We pray for candidates in the upcoming election that are Christian-based, that hear your voice and will react to your word, Father. And now, Father, we lift up all our own individual prayers.
You, Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for my family, Lord. Please be with all those who have health issues or any kind of emotional or financial problems, Lord. Help Mandy to get through this, Lord. Grant her peace as she prepares to rejoin the Lord. Thank you for your help with things that you do for me, especially the dope slots, Lord. You show me when I feel badly for myself how much of your slot I can do. Thank you.
Father in heaven, I just thank you that we can come and assemble in freedom and worship you. I pray for those that are absent today, especially our older folks. I pray for Grace and for Alma and for Faith and love. Just pray that you keep your arms around them. I too pray for a miracle from Andy Hudson. I pray that you would miraculously do. And if not, I pray that you would help her to not be afraid and to just comfort her with your peace. I pray this through Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I lift up my best friend and my family. Lord, I would just pray, Father, that you would just put courage and comfort to parents, especially, Lord God. I can't imagine having a child die. Lord, I pray for my kids, Lord God, that they would make godly decisions in Jesus, that they would truly seek you before they make any major decisions, Lord God. Father, I pray for David Luke, Lord, that you continue to bring him in his life as well. And his parents.
Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you for the gift of this day. I thank you for the opportunity to come here and worship you. I lift up all those with medical issues on our prayer list. Comfort them, heal them, help them to feel your presence. I also lift up my brother Eddie, as he has a medical issue also. I just pray that you help him and heal him and get him better. I lift up my granddaughters, and I pray for peace in the world. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for just enough snow to make it beautiful, and then we didn't get too much like they did down south, and I hope they can dig out and be safe down there, and God bless them all.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day, Lord. Thank you for the warm sunshine, Lord. Thank you that spring's coming soon, Lord. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. I pray for all those people that are down in the Mid-Atlantic states, Lord. They got pounded by that storm, Lord. Would you help them dig themselves out, Lord? And that's the last big storm of the season, Lord. Pray for our dear pastor, Lord, that you bless him, Lord. And fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord, as he preaches the message, Lord. Pray for baby Luke and all our children and our grandchildren, Lord, that you bless them and keep them safe. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Pray for all of the people, especially the pregnant women and infants in South America and Central America that are being affected by the Zika virus, which is a horrible scourge because those adults who get it experience cold and flu-like symptoms, but any pregnant woman who gets it will, if they get it early enough in their pregnancy, give birth to children with microcephaly, which, I mean, they're not even continent, and is producing just thousands and tens of thousands. It's a mosquito-borne virus, and it could come to the United States. in the warmer months of this year. And El Salvador and Brazil have begged all their women not to get pregnant this year, which is not going to work, of course, but that's how concerning it is. And I just pray that this doesn't become the really serious problem for humanity that potentially could be. It's not understood.
Father, we come lifting up our prayers, lifting up our joys, talking to you daily, Lord. We come to you knowing that you're like a father, that you're glad to hear from us. That long absences where we don't talk to you make us sad, just as I feel sad when my children don't talk to me. We come, Father, and we lift up all our plans and all our opportunities to you, knowing that you have a plan for us for good, not for evil. And now, Father, we lift up all these prayers, spoken and unspoken, to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We'll do first and last verses, 471.
In the New Testament of your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along with me. It's entitled The Canaanite Woman's Faith. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This has been a reading of our Lord's Holy Word.
Thank you. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. We ask now, Father, that you come and put your hands on each person's shoulder, that you'd open our hearts and minds, that you'd lift us up and surround us with angels, that the message would be special for each person here, that it would be an opportunity for us to better see and better understand the work that you have for us to do, Father. For we're here to do your work. We're here to fulfill a mission. Give us the strength and the courage and the ability to step up and do it now. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
At the bottom of the bulletin, I put a little ditty that says, we are part of an occupational force. We are part of an occupational force, and our mission is to enforce the victory of Calvary. We're not here for vacation. We're not here for just doing work to make a living. We're here for a purpose. And I always tell folks, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. But like everybody else, I get a little distracted sometimes. There was a story about a young guy from Vermont. We were talking in Bible study this morning. Joel said he was looking for a discaro, and I said, yeah, I remember being a kid up in the hills. My dad up in the hills used a lot of discaros. And it's nice because you can hook them up to a tractor or a doodle bug or an old truck. You don't have to have big equipment. And you go out there and you ride them around. And you can start discaroing somewhere around 10 years old when you can put blocks on the pedals enough so your legs will reach. And you go out there and you, that's where you start to learn to drive. There was this young man up in Vermont. He's a farm boy and he had a load of corn. He's going down the road and he probably liked me. I was telling Joel, you know, Joel said, yeah, your dad always says, leave it in low gear, don't shift it in the second. Don't go through the gears. I'm sure this young boy shifted his tractor or doodle bug in the second, was going along, and the load of corn he was hauling overturned in the road. It turned over right next to another farm, and the farmer that was next door came out to look at him, and he says to the kid, hey, Willis, come on with me, son. He said, I'll give you a hand here in a little bit. He said, you forget your trouble. He said, my wife's got dinner on. Come on in with us. Willis says, well, I appreciate it. That's mighty nice of you, but I don't think Pa would have me happy with that. The farmer says, oh, come on, son. Come on along with me. He said, have something to eat. I'll give you a hand getting it loaded. The boy said, well, okay, but I bet your Pa won't like it. After they had a hearty dinner, the farmer said, well, okay, let's go out there and we'll get started. And he said, well, we'll go out, but I'm sure Pa ain't going to like me taking the time off. And his neighbor said, well, don't be foolish. By the way, where is your father? And the kid said, under the wagon. That's kind of what happens to us somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way, our best laid plans get interrupted with good intentions. The other thing that happens is sometimes we're doing our work and something pops up that we weren't expecting. Jesus had gone to the Mediterranean shore of Tyre and Sidon, and what we call it today is Lebanon. And Jesus, we don't know too much why Jesus went there, but maybe it was to take a break. He might have been wanting to take a break from his healing, and maybe he wanted to get away from the Pharisees and the teachers that kept bothering him and chastising him over his and their interpretation of purification and transcendence light. Maybe Jesus wanted to take a break. If you notice, when Jesus did a lot of work, he would go off by himself. And in Mark, we read, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 and 30, says where Jesus said, told that Jesus entered a house and didn't want to know anyone. He wanted to keep his presence a secret. And ever notice when you got a day down that, you know, either your kids or your grandkids or somebody else shows up and they want to do something now. They want to do it now and you kind of like to take a break. Or somebody unexpected shows up. And Jesus was off and this lady comes along and it's a Canaanite lady. And in Mark's version it says that she was Greek, being born in the Syrian Phoenicia. And she came and pleaded that Jesus heal her demon-possessed daughter. And she's pleading with him. just come on and heal. And Jesus responded in an uncharacteristic way for him. And this might be the only time that you see Jesus really didn't want to be bothered. Jesus looks at him and, you know, and says, hey, you know, he has compassion for something for about everybody along the way. But what happens is the disciples urge him to send the woman away. They see this woman as just being a nuisance. Did you ever feel that way? Had somebody jump up on you and you thought, man, just go away. Give me a little bit of time. You know, somebody turns up unexpected and breaks into your plans for the day. And Jesus had a mission to fulfill. His mission was salvation to the Jews. Really wasn't time for the mission for the Gentiles yet. Jesus' task was to preach the good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. His main work was with the Jews and the chosen people. So Jesus kind of pushes her away, but the Gentile woman comes back. She comes back like the centurion. She comes back and she prostrates herself, lays down in front of Jesus and cries for the sake of her daughter. And the scriptures kind of uses a hard term. It says, you know, they talked about her being a dog, that she was less worthy than the Jews. But she says to Jesus, look it, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dog. To call someone a dog was an insult, just as it would be today. But in those days, it meant the person was impure and clean. And by calling her a dog, Jesus kind of tested her faith already, although he already knew what she was going to say. The woman didn't argue with Jesus. What she said was, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's tables. The woman chose to use a phrase that Jesus had used, implying that if the dog was meant to receive God's blessing, that she would accept that to get her daughter healed. Love of a child can draw folks to any lengths. And Jesus is filled with compassion and talks to the woman and says, your faith, because you have such great faith. And the urgency was to do it now. The woman wanted that child help right now. You know, my granddaughter's had a lot of different stuff wrong with her over the years, and I've worked a lot of children's wards. And when you work with children, the urgency's always is of the extreme importance for that minute. For that minute. With other folks that are adults, you pray and you hold them up. But with a little child, it's, you're looking at untapped opportunity, and that's, I'm sure, what this woman felt. But the urgency of doing things now not only extends to that woman with the child, it extends to you and I today. My brother Roy and his pastor, I've seen him many, many times go off and grab, particularly my relatives. I grew up with my cousin and I grew up together, and he got cancer at one point in time and survived the cancer and was doing well. But in order for him to be healthy, he needed to quit smoking entirely. And it was a battle because everybody else around him and his family smoked and wouldn't give up smoking. And so Gordy kind of said, okay, whatever will be. And Roy went out the road, and he said to him, I need to have a cup of coffee with you. I need to have a cup of coffee with you because you were raised in the church, and I know that you've been to the church, but I need to know right now, today, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was important enough because by Gordy changing his work ethic and going back and not quitting smoking, he had pretty much given himself a death sentence. That, you know, he would die, and he didn't know when. But Roy wanted to make sure. He wanted to make sure. And I've seen him do it time and time again where he's gone off to visit with folks, and he's very, very kind, but he's very upfront. He tells them, I need to ask you now. I called you now because it's important. And Dwight Moody, in his writing. Roy Moody was a famous evangelist and pastor. And Dwight Moody was doing a series of sermons. And he was preaching in Chicago on October 8th, 1871. And his message was, "What will you do with Jesus?" And he concluded his sermon by saying, "I wish you would seriously consider this subject, for next Sunday we'll speak about the cross. Then I'll ask you, what will you do with Jesus?" They concluded the service with a hymn, but the hymn never got completed because the roar of the fire engines filled the auditorium. The famous Chicago fire of 1871 broke out that night, and almost the whole city was waked off the map. The sermon never came all the way through. And afterwards, Dwight Moody said, "I've never since dared to give an audience a week to think about their salvation." How many were ready? How many were hearing the voice of God and would have laid their souls before Christ that evening? So, my sermon about Do It Now is important not just for getting stuff done, not just for fulfilling whatever work God's got prepared for you, but we always think that we have tomorrow. We always think that there'll be more time. We always think that there'll be another opportunity. And opportunity sometimes disappears in the blink of an eye. Sometimes it's a car accident, a plane crash. Sometimes it's, Mandy's a good example. Mandy danced at Barbara's wedding. Now that was where I met Mandy originally, when she came up to be in the rehearsal for Barbara's wedding. I knew her after that because her mother had died of ALS and she didn't have a headstone for her mother. And so Barbara hooked it up with that site that you use to raise money on the website. And the girl raised enough money so that her mother would have a headstone. And that, you know, Barbara's been married probably less than a year now, I don't think.
August 8th she got married.
Say again?
August 8th.
August 8th. You know, on August 8th, Mandy danced at her wedding, and there was no sign of anything. So, Do It Now is a sermon that I try to do every day in my life. I try and prioritize the day. I try and not miss an opportunity for a phone call or a text message. The snowstorm is a good example. I have a lot of my folks that are in the snowstorm area. I could have waited until the snowstorm was over to text them and see how they were. But I text them before the storm, I text them during the storm. They text back and forth. And it's always interesting that, you know, they want to know, they always are, there's always a dual concern, you know. I text my sister-in-law in Jersey, she said, "Yeah, we got a foot, we're waiting for another foot. How are you doing?" I said, "Well, we might get 2-3 inches. I felt a lot better since that. But even with 2 or 3 inches, you never know when something's going to occur. I haven't seen your car yet, Kit, but I understand that you have a new deck in your car. And that happened just in a matter of minutes.
Seconds.
Yep.
New car.
Yep.
Solved the problem and created
a moment. Yep. Well, good news is you can fix cars.
Yep.
You can fix cars. I used the scripture from Isaiah in the bulletin. It says, "Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. His wisdom of the wise will perish, the intelligence of the intellect will vanish." If you read the rest of the verse, but faith stays the day. Faith stays the day. Faith is the ability to believe in the unseen. Faith is what drives the worker, the race car driver, the professional athlete. A lot of you folks are having faith today in Tom Brady and the Patriots crew that they're that they're going to hold together in Denver. But faith is what gets you through each and every day. Faith and prayer. So as we move forward, don't put it off. Don't wait to tell somebody you're sorry. Don't wait to tell somebody that you love them. Don't wait to tell somebody that you need them. Don't wait to say to somebody, "Have I ever told you about the Lord Jesus Christ?" ever told you that I love you and loved you enough so that I want you to be with me for all eternity. I just want to know right now, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, let me tell you about him. And make sure before you leave that they say, yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I know. You don't have to bat them over the head and say, you need to come to church every Sunday. You know, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. But if you can get them on that one step, just one step. Do you know Jesus? Yeah. I'm telling you because I love you. I'm telling you because I don't want you left behind. That's a hard message to say no to. It's a hard message to say no to. When somebody comes and says, I love you enough that I want to make sure that you're going to spend eternity with me. I don't want you left behind. That's a hard gift to say no to. So this week, be all that God had meant you to be, and more than what God had meant you to be, and know that the God that formed the world has a plan for you for good and not for evil. That this week, somebody's life can be totally different because of you. We're going to close with 484, the old rugged cross. We're going to do all the verses.
Amen, brother.
We're going to do a missions offering today, because we forgot missions offering earlier in the month. We're going to do a missions offering. The ushers will collect the missions offering while we sing all the verses of the old rugged cross, 484.
Thank you.
that you bless these missions gifts, that they not only support the folks that we have, that we are doing monthly with missions, but they allow us the opportunity to reach out and do more. Ask, Father, you bless these gifts as well as the giver. And now, Father, as we leave this service, our real service begins. Help us to have the ability to go out and touch folks and change them so that none will be left behind. We lift up all these things to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.